going to interrupt your conversations. We handed out or had a page and just thought it might kind of bring an idea where we're headed. I'm gonna do a little teaching, preaching with regard to Peter and his messages in the book of Acts as he preached the things of the Word of God. And then see how those same things he preached in Acts are brought forth in the book of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, and the epistles, the letters he wrote. So what he preached is that which he wrote on. And it's interesting to think down through it and look at it a little bit here this morning hour. We'll get a kind of a start into that, a little introduction. And then Earl was kind of stingy. He's taken all the rest of the dates until after Easter. So I'll see you in a month or more. And you ought to get after him and tell him about that. He's supposed to be taking it easy. But we are, next Sunday is at Faith Baptist Church, beginning actually Saturday of their missions conference, though it's been a month of missions, missionaries and speakers, Sundays and Wednesdays, but they do several days in a row in starting Saturday. And then, by the way, if you want to come to a great meal, come Saturday night, let me know how many are coming, though. But and you're supposed to bring an international dish. Not, I don't know, so many don't bring, we like... what is that rice dish? Spanish rice. It's probably nothing Spanish about it. But the experiment brings something. You know, certainly I welcome. Ask me about it. I'd like to come. And perhaps Earl's talked about the missions conference. I don't know. I think he was going to. But anyway, we'll be away next week. And then the following week, the last Sunday of the month, we have a grandson being baptized up in the Clark Summit area, so we will be up there. And so Earl's taking that Sunday and the next two Sundays after that. And then it's Easter, and we'll be away. And so we're back around. So I'm just saying it'll be a long time before we get back to this. So just sort of a start introduction, get going, and the first few things of Peter here. So to think about. So you, if you want to hang on to it, if you don't want to, you know, it's fine. There's no big, it's not inspired. It's just things scribbled down. Anyway, the book of Acts, if you would please, in your Bible to Acts, and you know, what Peter preached is what Peter wrote about, and that's what this little study is about, to think about, get us thinking about it. And so when we're reading through the scriptures, we see the beautifulness of how they tie in. He also, Peter, lots of things he wrote about, he also, you'll find in some of the gospels, some of the things he was taught with regard to them, of course, from the Lord, and writes about them in Acts as well. So, but I don't know if we'll get that far. Not today, but anyway, that's down the line. But what God had the Holy Spirit had Peter to preach, and great sermons in the book of Acts. God, the Holy Spirit, had him write about in the epistles as he wrote to the, as he was in prison himself, and he wrote to those who under great oppression. Peter preached the first sermon ever with regard to being what we might call, quote, a Christian sermon, recorded in Acts chapter 2, and I'm sure you have read it before, and we're not going to this morning. But we just see there in Acts 2:14, a Peter standing up with the 11, and he raised his voice, it says. He must have spoken to a large group. We understand that as we read the portion. Got their attention. They're listening to him. as he preached to non-Christian Jews with the view in mind of conviction of who Jesus Christ was, his great conviction of who Christ was, and seeking to convict those and that were listening with regard to what was there to bring about change in their lives. Of course, we see as the message was used, when you read through Acts chapter 2, of the Spirit of God taking that word and doing a great work in the lives of many, here at the commencement and the beginning of the ministry of the church. And so as Peter stands up and he proclaims who Christ is and declares him in a group that would never heard of him or had heard little of him, and present him. And at the mission conference, I was thinking of one of the speakers who said something about being in a land where little has ever been heard about Christ, and there's great confusion with regard to him, and a few have read much of anything about him. And I thought, well, we're pretty much back to that in the United States. So a few folks are reading about Christ or heard about Christ. Very few reading the scriptures as comparative to a knowledge of the scriptures that so many had at one time. But the local church does exactly what Peter did. We have written here in Acts chapter 2. That is, we're to be out giving out the gospel. We need to lift up our voices, as it were, to make Christ known. Make Christ known on the job, over the phone, or the internet. Certainly in our homes, the first place of the mission field, right in our homes. And teaching and preaching, as it might be, door to door. I heard two testimonies this week of folks who had given out tracts. They had tracts available. I know you do too, right? You always got one someplace ready to give out. I gave out a Gospel of John this week and encouraged folks to read it. And when I sometimes hand them out, and other times, I guess I didn't write in this one. Sometimes I write in them, this book is free. Take me home and read me. And encourage folks to do that. But, one speaker was a man who was in his born deaf and so learned the sign language and went to college. And in college, he'd walk by a bulletin board, and there was a tract on it. And he took it down, and he would read it. And he says, every day of the week, there was a new tract and a different one. And I took him down, and it had the room number of the man who was putting out the tracts. And he said, I went and looked him up. And so beginning of the working of the Word of God in his life, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ by the testimony of a message through a tract and many others that he read. Also, my wife and I were with a group from the church in a home doing a little encouraging, some singing and praying and testimonies and so on. And one of the couples over next to us, whom we've known, she says, I came to know the Lord because this man, her husband, gave me a track. He was at work, and he was handing out tracks as people passed by, and whatever. Well, I think it was someplace at Hershey anyway, but gave her the track. And sometime later, she comes to know Christ. And then sometime later, each of their mates had died. They'd married. I thought, well, the track, you know, a little track. We think sometimes, what's it going to do? But God, the Spirit of God, takes the Word of God and works with regard to it. And Peter, he's standing up and he's speaking the things of the Word of God about Christ, a man approved of God, and gives that message here, Acts chapter 2. So we'll spend some time searching the Scriptures by comparing the topics of Peter's preaching and teaching in Acts with what he wrote in the epistles, the letters, what he preached. Well, what he preached, he believed, and what he believed, he wrote about. And we can do the same. I think many of you folks could write a testimony of God's working of grace in your lives and set it forth in print. Shouldn't be afraid to do that. You can do it. that easy with all our equipment available today. But your life is to be a living testimony of who Christ is as you speak to others. And sometimes you say, oh, I can't talk to him. Well, you can write it down. You can get it forth as a tract, a pamphlet, a piece of paper, and follow through. You know, Peter was following through on what Christ had taught him. And what Christ had taught him, we have here in the book of Acts, him speaking that, and then we have him in Peter writing it. And we need to be those doing the same, to follow through on the things of the Word of God and what we have before us. We need to do that. We've been taught the Word of God for many years, or we have taught it ourselves as well, and soaked in the Scriptures, and it's a part of our lives as it should be, and we need to follow through on the giving out of those things of the Word of God, not afraid to and not ashamed and desirous to set forth what it has. I remember, I was thinking this, I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday, but recently, it was about 50 years ago, it was before I knew my wife, so more than 50. And I was going out with a couple other guys to hand out some tracts on the street, and it turned out, you remember the Peanuts character Snoopy? Snoopy was always going to write a story, right? And he always started his stories out, "It was a dark and rainy night." And I often think of that because this was a dark and rainy night. What else would it be at night but dark? But it was a dark and rainy night. And the other two guys didn't show up, so we were going to go just right on the street and hand out tracts. And they didn't show up. The times I'd walked from where I was staying to where I was supposed to meet them, I was already soaking wet, so it didn't make any difference whether I... what was going to happen. So I went, and as it would be on a dark and rainy night in the streets, there's nobody out walking around. And so I said, well, I'll head back after walking down one street, coming up the other side, and there was a young boy on his way to the library. He was anxious to return his books. He was walking right along. It's one of those things we wouldn't do today. About 50 years ago, I just said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And, being a polite kid, yeah, you talk to adults, all that stuff. And then I said, well, let's step up out of the rain. And we stepped up onto this porch. And after it'd been there a while, I realized where we were. We're standing in front of a bar. You hear the tinkling and the glasses and the men, people talking and so on. Anyway, shared the gospel with him. And... he prayed and asked Christ as Savior, and only God knows, you know, with regard to the word of it taking place. But I just think about that, you know, we sometimes, and I've done it myself, come up with many excuses not to give out the gospel, or it's not the right day, timing, situation, and all that. Now the Spirit of God will take the word of God, and so we have that with Peter here in a very challenging situation. We have the local church coming into being, the church by the Spirit of God. And the first thing, the example, the illustration, the standard is set. And what is that? It's to preach the word. That's that, the first thing that takes place with regard to the ministry of a church coming into existence for the first time in the history of the world. And the illustration is by preaching is where it comes forth. So as you continue to pray for God to bring in the preacher for your church and ministry here, and do that's what is right with regard to the challenge to pray fervently and to seek for someone to preach the word, to minister to our hearts, strengthen us, but also to take that step of sending us out into the field in which we have been put. Now often we think about Peter. We often kind of put Peter down a little bit, one of my favorite characters in the Scriptures. Seems like Peter was always in trouble, wasn't he? I was always questioning what was going on. He was always objecting to something. And he was kind of always sticking his foot in his mouth, as it were. Maybe boasting, and on. But he always stuck with Christ. He always was on Christ's side, or for Christ, or with regard to Christ. Yes, he slipped back for a while at the time of the death of Christ, but was restored, bolder and stronger than ever. For the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a great prayer of our lives might be that we would have the boldness of a Peter, that we would have the knowledge of the scriptures that Peter had, and we'd combine those two of that great desire for the things of boldness and the truth of the scriptures, and to put them into action in the few days we have left upon this earth. And Peter was extremely well-versed, knowledgeable of the Word of God. When he gets up to preach, he proves that. When he writes the epistles, he proves that of his great knowledge of the Scriptures. Now, you and I have that great desire to have the same knowledge and to set it forth, and probably for the most part we do. We just don't always put it into practice as we might with regard to answering, with regard to how the Scriptures present something. I wanted to just mention briefly here, there's a teaching that is called undesignated scriptural coincidences. Sounds weird, doesn't it? Undesignated coincidences with regard to the scriptures. And you can look it up on your phone. That's the easiest way to explain it. Undesignated scriptural coincidences. Your books have been written with regard to it. And what it says, well, there's some things written in the scriptures that don't seem to have much rhyme or reason to them. They're kind of undesignated with regard to why they were written here and there and why that was done. But it's just a coincidence that later on they are put into use and practice in the things of the Word of God. I say, well, there's nothing with the Word of God that is, there's nothing undesignated. There are no coincidences. But what Peter was preaching about, the first sermons ever, are the things he was writing about when he comes to the letters just a few years later that he puts together and sends out to the churches. And there's no such thing as things undesignated in the scriptures. Someone made a lot of money off some books selling such topics as they brought up with regard to it. But the Spirit of God knew exactly what Peter preached with regard to his sermons, and that he would write about it later. It wasn't just the Holy Spirit was kind of surprised. Oh, Peter wrote about what he preached. It's not what happened. So when you take a look at Acts, I encourage you to some time reading that second chapter in particular. When you take a look at Acts, some days after the local church was established, we have Peter and his great preaching going on. The life of the church is underway. Souls have been saved, and you're in chapter 2. You go over to verse 41 and following in the record here that Luke left with us. And we have this, the first ever local church carrying on its ministries. And you've read it and heard it and had it before you many times. Acts chapter 2 and down to verse 41. They gladly received the word, were baptized, and 3,000 are added. And on they go. There's all these things going on with regard to the church. And you and I get the pattern of the church and what its ministries are to be carried on with regard to this section, with regard to the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. It literally was a new day. There had never been such a day or any time like it before with regard to a thing called the church and the believers. And here we got the oldest disciple and the youngest working together, obeying God and carrying forth the word of God and heading out with it. So you come to Acts chapter 3 as we move us rapidly along to the first verse, Acts 3 and verse 1. It says, now Peter, remember the great preaching has gone by, the great sermon, the great number saved, and the churches, a few days have gone by, and they've been doing their ministry and work together, and we've read about that. At the end of verse 47, it says, the church daily, the Lord is saving, adding to the church those being saved. Now, chapter 3 and verse 1, says, Peter and John, they were what? They went together into the temple. It was the hour of prayer, ninth hour, prayer time. That's where they were headed. They were headed for prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is a great hour for the church. A great necessity of gathering for the carrying on of the work. A great fellowship time. A great closeness. A great necessity for those who make up the church body to be there and present for prayer meeting. Local churches should have their biggest and best attendance at prayer meeting. They want to be that which is carrying on in the great picture of the significance of the church is that of a prayer meeting. It's not insignificant that the Spirit of God brings out here that after the great time of preaching, great number of folks coming to the Lord, that he has Peter and John, he gives a record of it here. They're headed out for prayer meeting. And we're reminded that as they are there, we see compassion from the hand of God in action by way of prayer. Verse 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And there he was asking for money, for alms, for any who entered into the temple. Verse 3. And this man, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. And he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Compassion is in action. What compassion they had seen by way of the working of the hand of Christ, they continue with. Prayer meeting is a great place to learn about compassion and put it into action. I like verse 6. What's Peter say? He says, look, my pockets are empty. My money bag is empty. Silver and gold, I don't have any. But what I do have, I give to you. And by the name of Jesus, it leads Peter, as the great compassion is had, it leads Peter into preaching another great sermon as a result of what takes place here. It reminds us we often miss great events and situations if we miss out on prayer meeting. Silver and gold I do not have. You and I could probably say the same thing. Peter preached kind of what we would call slightingly or slimly. He didn't raise up the topic of the things of gold. because gold was not Peter's God. And we always have to be examining our hearts if money, gold, income, whatever it might be, becomes too much like a God to us. I wrote in my notes, scribbled it in here on the edge. We forget that God, G-O-D, has no L in the word. And I think we do forget that. Because we examine our lives day by day, and no one's disagreeing with the necessity of income and the necessity of planning ahead and putting money away and having all of this. Nothing is being spoken to disdain that in any way. But the emphasis comes back to all of us constantly that gold, we have to be very careful. The paycheck will take over our lives and will run our lives. And this is where Peter, he doesn't preach with regard to that. He just makes this statement here, and it's a statement you and I would be willing to make as well. Hey, I don't have a lot of silver and gold to give, but what I have, I give. And I can give forth the things of Christ, the things of God, the things that pertain to eternity, the things of the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and present them, and always ready to set forth and give forth the things of God. And so Peter preaches this sermon. You see it in chapter 3. I'm going to draw your attention down into it a ways to about verse 14. Peter has started preaching. And talking about how the Lord Jesus Christ been delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. Now, verse 14, he says, "But you not denied the Holy One and the Just." I'm in verse 14, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Remember, Peter was there. Remember, he knew what was going on, and killed the Prince of Life. First sermon I ever preached in my life came out of this right here, this portion of Scripture, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, a very important verse for us, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, the one that was laying on the bed and raised up, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. A great gift of faith had healed the man and raised him up and strengthened him. And so Peter says there is something more important than gold. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's more on the man's testimony therein. But I will take our attention away from that and move ahead on the same topic over to Peter, if you would please. The first letter of Peter, 1 Peter, and that chapter 1 which we read from this day already. So find Peter, the first chapter, first verse or chapter, and then we're going down to verse 18. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 18. Peter speaking on the same topic as he just got done saying, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you. And he says, know this. Here's something we know. 1 Peter 1, 18. You know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You know, things that are rotting away. Like silver and gold. We don't often think of silver and gold as just something perishing. From your empty or aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, that's what we were redeemed by, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. When we think down through this, we are reminding ourselves that gold and silver are temporary. Peter's not putting a big emphasis upon the valuableness of silver and gold, but he's using it as an illustration to bring a comparison of those things that are, whatever is around us is temporary and transient. It's gold and silver are temporary. Perishable items, as we compare them with regard to eternal items, things that are not perishable. We know that gold and silver are the least perishable of God's creation of inanimate things. Nonetheless, perishable, subject to change. Certainly always subject to being used in the multitudes of wrong ways. But no matter how long they last, gold and silver, they will tarnish. They will lose value. They will perish. They will decay. But right now, right in front of you, right now, right in front of our eyes, from Peter, who had said, just a few years previous, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you. And we have right in front of us the most momentous truth that is for us, that is more precious than all the gold we might have had, wished to have, thought we would have, we never have had, but we have right here. What is it? We have been redeemed. The greatest truth you'll ever have with regard to yourself, you've been redeemed. The precious blood of Christ. Not redeemed with corruptible things, but by the precious blood of Christ. Redemption from sin's power is much more than all the much mores of gold and silver one might have. Redeemed, bought with a price. What a great songs on the topic we have in our hymn books. Ransomed. It is not that heaven was bought for us, but it's that we were bought for heaven. You know, we find it sometimes hard to give away both. That is, we find it hard to give gold sometimes. We find it hard to give the gospel at other times. We hang on to that. It is impossible to be ransomed from sin by corruptible things like silver and gold. It's impossible. And no matter how long your silver and gold holds out and endures, or mine, it will perish in the end. But your God-created soul is eternal, impervious to destruction, decay, destined to survive whatever crash of the cash there is, whatever wreck of the worlds might take place. It'll survive. And if it's been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, it will spend its eternities with God. And that is, you know, such as we have. We pause and think about it. This is what I have. You know, Peter says, such as I have. I don't have any gold, but such as I have, what I have, we give. And so we do with regard to Christ. Such as we have, we give. We give away the things of Christ, give his truth and his word, his workings. All of God's created gold and silver is insufficient to free one soul, including ours, you know, from the power, the curse, the penalty of sin in hell. All the gold and silver. I like the writer F.B. Meyer, if you ever see any of his stuff, especially the old books. Here's a great quotation of his. He talks about a scale, and he says, though on the scales of the universe, and the scales of the universe, though they groaned on the one side, as was heaped up on the one side, all the treasures of heaven, if we could imagine that, and all the jewels in the walls of heaven, and all the gold of the pavements of heaven, yet on the other, one soul is placed. One redeemed soul placed on the other would outweigh them all. Matter amounts to nothing in the weighing in the chambers of heaven, but it's the precious blood of Christ. What weighs up to us as precious? The Holy Spirit had Peter write there in Acts 8 and chapter 8 and verse 20. Remember when Peter said this? He said to a man, I don't think it was dealing with salvation, but the topic is true. He said to the man, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Multitudes think on that. Let us be sure we don't think that way in some way as well. Let's close with a few thoughts on this. While there are many wonderful things in this chapter of 1 Peter that we read a little chunk of this morning, we look at that verse 19 where he says, the idea coming out of verse 18, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. The precious blood of Christ. Precious indeed to the Father who gave the Son who shed the blood. Precious to the Son who died on Calvary as his blood purchased you and I. As John chapter 6 brings out to us. Precious to the Spirit of God, who applies the Word of God. He puts it to work in lives as he did yours to bring folks to Christ. And it's precious to the sinner who believes and yes, receives. Not gold from the hand of God, though it's more precious than gold. Precious blood. And it's precious, it will be for all eternity. Precious to God, bringing praises to God, and it'll be precious to us. As the book of Revelation reminds us, as Peter wrote here of the Lamb, remember, of the Lamb at the throne. Precious. When you and I take a few moments and sit down and think about it, when we compare our faith, a gift from God, with our gold, which is more precious to us? Which is more precious to us? And how do we show and prove our answer of what is more precious? Are our lives and our faith and our gold, are we genuinely putting forth so others would see and know? Yes, that person believes what he, she says. They believe about God in the Bible as they talk about God in the Bible. And they believe that the blood of Christ is more important than the precious things of life. You and I might well be saying today, I don't have any gold or silver. I don't have any gold or silver to give to the Lord's work. I want to, I desire to, I would love to, I would if I had. I don't have any to give. However, remember Peter said he didn't have any. But what did he say? Such as I have. Such as I have. He had the testimony, the love and grace and care of God and the giving out of the gospel. You know, in truth, the giving out of the gospel is like giving out gold that never perisheth. The gospel's that precious. So in our conversations, do we believe and talk and think like Peter when it comes to silver and gold? In our hearts, do we believe like Peter when it comes to the gold and silver God has allowed us to have? And in our hearts, our minds, just how precious is the blood of Christ to us? How precious is it? Peter said, I don't have anything to give you out of my pockets. And you and I could well enough probably say the same thing in many situations. But such as I have, I've got the faith in Jesus Christ, and I pass it along to you. So it reminds us to be ready with that track in the pocket or purse or wherever. And it reminds us that at any time as we are going through life, as we're on our way, as Peter and John on their way to a prayer meeting, they come across someone in need of help. And they give what they have. And so we can do the same. Might we think through the things of Peter? And you got that little page we gave out, and you can see some of the topics there brought out on it. But just a reminder, what Peter heard Jesus say, and you and I have read what he has said in the gospel. Peter preached about that, taught about what he heard, and then he wrote about that and gave it forth. You and I, what we have heard about for a long, long, long time. You ever keep track of all the sermons and Sunday school lessons and Wednesday night lessons that you've heard? Quite a job to try to figure up how many. And then we would say to ourselves, so what have I done with them? They've affected my life. They've ministered to me. They've strengthened me. Who have I passed it on to? Might we be convinced and convicted the need of doing that? Our Father, take your word, the scriptures, and apply them to our hearts and cause us to be what you've designed us to be for your name's sake. And like a Peter, to say, I don't have anything much or nothing at all, but what I do have, I have the gospel that I can give out. And Lord, bring someone across my path that I will take the time, I will pause and share the things of Christ. And might someone come to Jesus for your glory because of a track I would give or a message I would give or the word I would speak to someone. Father, put us in places where we have to speak about Jesus. And we pray it all rebounds to your glory as we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.